Welcome to the Duluth Vineyard Podcast. This message is recorded from one of our weekend services. As a church, we are a community from all different walks of life who are learning to love God and love one another. We're a place where everyone is welcome, true believers, along with the curious, the skeptical, the wounded, and even the disillusioned. We're a place of new hope and second chances. We're a church where God can be found. You can find out more about the Vineyard Church in Duluth on our website at duluthvineyard.org. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. Well, I'm starting to think maybe spring is coming because I heard it's going to be like 60 tomorrow. Can you imagine? Is 60 in Duluth? I mean, that's crazy. The snow is melting. It's very exciting. I'm starting my motorcycle and revving it up in the garage, but there's still too much snow right outside the garage to drive it out, so I got to wait or shovel, and I'm not going to shovel, so 60 tomorrow. It'll melt. I'm going to get out. Well, I wanted to let you know, I told you I would give you an update this week on what's happening with my husband Michael and Mike Munson, who are traveling in the UK, who were under regulations of deportation as of last Sunday at this time. And thankfully on Monday the immigration judge ruled in their favor and they were given their passports back and allowed to go on their way. So they're just fine and dandy, and we don't need to worry about them. You can keep praying for them. Mike will be back. They'll be back this coming week, late in the week. And so they're in Ireland serving in the Belfast City Vineyard this morning and preaching there and having a great time. And I know that they'll probably go out for a Guinness afterwards, so don't worry about Michael. He's fine. I did find out, though, this week, though, that he didn't tell me this in the first conversation, but evidently he was, like, fingerprinted and mugshot and put in a holding cell for a while. So I'm loving it. I think it's hilarious. Because now when I call him a convict, it's true. It's all true. Now I got the paperwork to back it up, you know? He's shaved head, wears a lot of black leather, so if you don't know Michael, you'll meet him one day, but he's kind of a scary-looking dude. And I told him, from now on, for the rest of our lives when we travel, I am not going through the same line as you at customs. It's like, I'm in a separate line, and I don't care. If you get held up, it's, you know, good luck, buddy. I'm going through with our plans, and I'll speak for you, but I'm not even going to be associated with you when you try to go through customs in the future. Well, most of you know that we're in our final stages of building a new facility, and we'll be moving into it here very shortly. And in fact, it's sort of surreal because, you know, you've been working on something for 5 years and moving in a certain direction, but it could be that we're in our last few weeks here, our last couple of weeks, if not maybe even next week, being our last week here at this location. So you need to tune in closely or you'll end up at the wrong church. There will be church here, but they won't be expecting all of you. And it's only one service, so if you miss it, you'll know. I guess you'll know when you know if you miss us. But we could be maybe our final days here, maybe two more weeks. We'll know for sure by next weekend. We'll be able to let you know, and then we'll try to get something out in the mail as well. But last week was particularly challenging. The last couple of weeks, we've had a number of different things happen, and I talked last week about just us, you know, even going through spiritual attack and going through suffering and, you know, how to hold on to Jesus through all of that. And, you know, I'm kind of in the middle of doing some ministry last Saturday night, and we were seeing a lot of deliverance last weekend. God was really on the move. The kingdom of God was just really moving forward in people's lives, and people were surrendering to Christ. And as all that's going on, the Lord kind of gave me a word for our church, and it was very, very clear, and this is kind of what he said to me. I felt like I was to share it with you this morning. He said to me this. He said, you know, you think moving to the new building is simply just moving into a bigger house and getting more space, but moving into the new facility is a much bigger deal in the spirit realm. And he said this. He said, it's the fulfillment of years of prophecies that I have been speaking over the life of this church. And he kind of got my attention then because I started to remember, you know, the things that God has said and the times that he said it about what he wanted to do through the community here. And he said this, I am making you, and he was speaking of us all collectively at Duluth Vineyard, not just me personally, a city on a hill to bring light to Duluth and to be an expression of my love for them. And, you know, my interpretation of that is like, oh my gosh, you're right, that is a big deal. And, you know, I sort of, it was like a little bit of a wake-up call for me. And then all of a sudden it kind of made sense of some of the spiritual attack that was going on last weekend and what we felt like we were under, particularly last weekend. And then, you know, the enemy, basically, he cannot undo what God's doing. He can't change it. He can't take it away. He cannot mess with God's plans for us. But what he does is he just kind of harasses you. You know, he just kind of tries to distract you, get you to forget about it, takes away, you know, your ability to celebrate what God's doing sometimes. And in fact, you know, doesn't necessarily want us to actually feel the full impact of what God is saying and doing right now. And so he kind of consumes you with this flurry or frenzy of, you know, activity in the spirit realm. And you know, we definitely have felt it, and I know that many of you have as well. And so as soon as I kind of realized the significance of what God was really saying and what, you know, just that wake up, that reminder of what's really happening in the life of our church, he also gave me a really strong impression to go to Matthew 5 in the Bible and read more about his heart for us. And he told me to share that with you today. So that's what we're going to talk about. And over the years, we have had prophesied over our church many things several times along these lines. And prophecy is simply just spontaneously God depositing his thoughts, his ideas, and his dreams and hopes for us into our hearts and minds. And we've had people come on a number of different occasions for conferences and things, and literally as they're sharing, you know, say, God's given me a word for your church, and you know, just speaking that. And that's what prophecy is. And I can remember in 1999, we were much smaller, probably only 150, 200 people. I remember Rita Springer coming and doing a worship conference, and some of you were there, and she had some prophetic words, and Terry, who was with her ministering to us, had some words that we would be a light, where light would come out of us like a lighthouse to the city, and that rays of light would, you know, beams of light through the people's lives that were committed to following Jesus and being a part of this community would go out into some very dark places and reach people for Christ. They also told us that there would be lots of pastors and leaders that would go out from here to do kingdom ministry all over the world. And of course, we're seeing that, and God has even spoken to us even more about that in the coming years. I remember Eric Sandris. Some of you were here for Eric Sandris. He stood up here. He came and did a Buck Naked Faith conference for us. I think it was about 2005. And he had a spontaneous word from the Lord as he stood before our church. And he said that our church would be a gateway to the community, that the kingdom of God could come and flow right through our church into the community that we live in, and that it would come crashing through the gates of Duluth Vineyard and be poured out on the city of Duluth. And so I want us to read Matthew 5 and see what God is saying today, because I think it's supposed to make an impression on us, and I think it's a reminder that it's kind of what's happening in the life of our church, and it's what God is doing in the spirit realm, and he wants us to be in touch with it. He wants us to not forget it and not to get distracted. I'm going to pray right before we read that passage. Father, I do want to thank you so much just for being with us this morning. I thank you for your spontaneous word, and that you're so good at just speaking to our hearts and telling us what we need for encouragement and edification, that you really do want to build up the church, God. And I just want to thank you for caring so much and having your hand on us and helping us to just be aware that you're walking through this every step of the way with us. And we want to embrace it, God. Would you help us to give our hearts over to what you're saying about us and that you want to do through us? We want to embrace it. We want to say it's true. We want to walk in it. And so, God, would you help us where we are resistant? Would you help us where we're weak? And would you help us just to hear what you're saying and put power on this passage today for us, Lord? In your name, amen. All right, I'm going to read Matthew 5. You can follow in the Bibles under your chairs, but I am going to read it out of a little bit different version because this is how it came to me. I'm going to read it to you out of the Message version. It's kind of the way that the words that God used to speak it to me personally. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness, and then you'll end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. I don't know how that makes you guys feel. I don't know if it freaks you out or if you get excited about going public, about being a city on a hill. But I think that's God's heart for us. I think that's what he has in mind. And I've heard people say, you know, countless times after they stumble on us, they come to the Vineyard, I don't know how they find us. Statistics show that you cannot grow a church in a neighborhood. It's one of the biggest rules in church growth principles. Whatever you do, do not use a facility that's tucked away in a neighborhood because, you know, your church will probably die. And so, of course, we've defied that by the power of the Holy Spirit and God's help. We're not good for that statistic. People have said countless times, you know, after they've come here and they've met God or they, you know, just found healing, they found a safe place where they could connect to God, they're experiencing his love and acceptance, your love and acceptance. I never heard about the Vineyard Church before. I've lived here for years, and I didn't even know you were here. And, you know, in some respects, Michael and I have purposely tried to fly under the radar and, you know, just quietly go about the business of the kingdom. We don't want to be self-promoting. We certainly don't think we're the best or the only church that's, you know, in town or that God is using. We don't think we have a corner on the market. We bless people going to other churches. We believe that people are called to all kinds of churches and not just our church, and we don't think that we're elite. And so, you know, we've just, in an effort to just be humble, we've, you know, not been self-promoting. And our current building here, and not necessarily the people, because you guys come from all over, according to our survey that we took a few weeks ago, but the building itself, it's pretty tucked in the neighborhood here. We're not really on any of the main roads, but all of that is coming to an end, isn't it? And I think it's easy, you know, for us to get really bogged down with details and decisions at this time when we're trying to make this big transition and move into the building and get it finished, and we get consumed and we lose sight of this big picture, this great, the grand scheme of things, this idea that God has for us and why he's been doing everything he's been doing for years here at Duluth Vineyard. And I think God's saying, hold on here. Keep your eyes fixed on me, because I am fulfilling something that I've been wanting to do. I've always had in mind for you for years. And, you know, I'm building this community of believers, and it's coming to a pass, so don't miss it. In fact, it's time to go public. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever been driving. I can remember being a little girl in the car driving out in the country and asking my dad, what's that big, huge glow of orange and green in the sky, or orange and yellow in the sky there that's so far off? What is that? Is it like a UFO, Dad, you know, or something mystical? And he'd say, no, that's just a city. Even though we're miles away, all the lights from the city shine up in the sky. And we're miles and miles away, but it's a city way over there that you can see. And that's the light from the city. And I think that I thought of that this week, and I realized that the church is going to shine brightly. It is shining brightly. But the church is going to shine so much light from it through the lives and the love of people, reaching people. There's no way it's going to be hidden. There's no way it's going to be, you know, hidden under a bucket. And I'm going to be talking, or I should say that I'm not talking about a new building necessarily at 1533 Arrowhead Road. And in fact, you know, the fact that we're moving to that new facility in a couple of weeks, and it happens to be sitting on a hill, and, you know, that could be symbolically reminding us that our purpose here, and it has been all along, is to build this alternative community of believers who are followers of Jesus that will bring light and hope to the communities that we live in. That's why we do this. That's why we're here. And that's what God has always had in mind. And it's important not to make the mistake of thinking that somehow when we say church, we think of the building. Because when we say church, we mean the people. You know, and years ago, Michael hasn't done this so much recently, but when he would preach, he would say to the people, he would say, "Who's the church?" And you guys would say, "Yeah." Yeah. I can remember the day that somebody said, you are, you know, and it was a visitor. And everyone else is chiming, "We are." Because you're the church. And we're here to equip and to help you become and do the things that God has in mind for you. And the fact is, you know, God is putting us smack in the middle of a hill that rises above Duluth and on one of the busiest roads that runs north and south the length of the city. And we're going to be very much more visible, our gathering place where we meet to worship God. But we don't dwell in that place, do we? We don't live there. We all go back to the communities where we live, and we're like those rays of light coming out from the body of believers and shining into all of the places that God has us. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, this promise of being a city on a hill was spoken to the eschatological Jerusalem, last days city of Jerusalem, that all the nations would be drawn to her. But in Matthew, Jesus is speaking specifically to his disciples, and he's saying that it's true of them today. And he told us, even this week, that it's true of us today as we're followers of Jesus as well. And so our mission and the purpose of God's kingdom is to build a city on a hill where God is present. And I can remember years ago, our first experiences with the Vineyard, I can remember hearing John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, say, "What would it be like if the Holy Spirit got his church back? Like, what if there was a place where God actually wanted to go on Sunday morning and be with people? Like, his presence was there." And I don't know, does it seem kind of like, when you think about all this, when you think about what it means to be part of a church that's called to be a city on a hill, is it too high of a calling for the church? We might ask ourselves, like, can we do this? Is it that big of a deal if we don't? How important is it? And the truth is, it takes a lot of time and energy and resources and, you know, money to build our lives around the kingdom of God. And for every one of you who have been extending yourselves to do that, and you're involved here, you know, he is doing that through you, but you're making all kinds of sacrifices. And it's costly. And I think sometimes, you know, it's so easy to go, "Man, life was simpler before Duluth Vineyard Church. You know, you could just show up on Sundays and check out for the rest of the week." And some people, many people have worked thousands of hours on that new facility. They go to work all day and then show up at 5 and they work all night. And many of you have for years been, you know, running a class on Monday and doing a small group on Tuesday and hosting something else on Wednesday and giving multiple evenings a week. I mean, I think most people that are, you know, involved, and a lot of volunteers are serving 15 to 25 hours a week on top of working a 40-hour job. And we know that, and we see that, and it does cost. And you know, Michael and I have thought probably more than a few times about this whole building a community of hope. I mean, it is not what we signed up for. Not that we're going to have a cute little church of about 300 in Lakeside for years. You know, and I've had to work through my own emotional kind of barriers of, you know, "God, what in the world are you doing? I didn't ask to be, this isn't what I signed up for, you know?" And, you know, just asking him to put his heart in me so that I could bless what he's doing and participate in what he's doing, because he's always doing abundantly more than we could ask or think. Like, bigger things than we know. And I can remember sitting at the table in our dining room before we ever came before the church the first time to talk about what we felt God was asking us to do as a body of believers. And before we ever stood up the first time and said to you that we think God wants us to build this new facility, I can remember Michael sitting at the table, and, you know, if you know artists, Michael's an artist, and you think of that temperament, right? So they're not like super emotional all the time, and Michael's not, but he's an artist, you know? So he's like, you know, sensitive kind of guy. I know you probably didn't know that about him. And we're going to edit this out of the tape, so he's going to never know that I said this stuff about him anyway, so this is just between us. But, you know, I can remember sitting there, and he's like, you know, a hard worker. He's got the corporate hat on a lot of the time. I've got the cause and the community hat on a lot of time. We get emotional about different things. But I can remember him sitting there that day, and his eyes just, you know, welled up with tears, and he goes, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I don't know if I can lead the church through this huge transition and raise $4 million and, you know, build this building and move us all. And what, you know, your brain just starts to, you know, implode when you start to think about, you know, just the burden, the responsibility of that. And many times we've thought, man, Lord, you know, life would sure be simpler if before this Duluth Vineyard thing, you know. And yet at the same time, something, you know, when you see God's hand on it and you see God and you feel God on it, you know, and our very familiar and very frequent prayer is not that spiritual. It's, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, help or we're toast. I mean, that's very spiritual, isn't it? I mean, you put toast in a prayer, that's not very spiritual. And you just keep adding oh gods on it, you know? And you get louder, and that's your prayer. But somewhere in us, we see God's hand, we know what God's doing, and we can't quit. And we hope you can't quit. That once he's caught your heart for this kingdom stuff, it is just, the mission is too important. It's just far too important to say, you know, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. And then everything else that's happening in the world and all the political stuff and the economical stuff that's happening in the world and in the city and in our community just sort of becomes a backdrop to what God wants to do and his heart for his church and how he wants our church to bring redeeming love to people who are hopeless. Because people are hopeless and despairing. And it's so important for us to understand God's heart for the church so that we can continue to do the things that are going to help us stand. One of them is just that we value relationship with each other. And the church is all about community. And we're creating an environment where we're building relationships of caring and sharing and love and acceptance. And if you sin against me, I'll forgive you. And when I sin against you, you'll forgive me. And we're going to stick together. We're going to lay our lives down for one another. We're going to share some common vision and goals. And so we have to stay together in this. And we're also focused on just in those relationships, being completely committed to Christ-centered relationships. Not you being in control, not me being in control. Do you know what happens when your relationships get really muddy and messed up, and then somebody, one person says, Jesus, will you come right to the center of this? Will you be in control? Like, I don't need to be in control of this. And then for the sake of Jesus Christ, you know, we continue to have one of our highest priorities just to develop those kinds of relationships where there's unity and there's cooperation between us. We're also committed to being empowered by the Holy Spirit, because I don't think we can do this without the Holy Spirit. So it's why we talk about the Holy Spirit so much, because we need that filling of the Spirit to forgive each other and to get along with each other. And then because we're doing all of that, we get the incredible privilege of bringing more and more and more hope to more and more people who are hopeless and despairing. You know, despair is the bad news of our world today. It is everywhere. I mean, you know, you just watch the news, you know, one day and you see despair. And our heart is to never get numb to it. Our media doesn't help that. I think we have so much media and internet and global news that, you know, you almost can't listen to it or see one more starving child somewhere without feeling like I got to shut off my emotions and I don't want to feel all of this. And so, you know, I don't think God ever does that. He never checks out to the world's when the world's needs. He's constantly tuned in, constantly wanting to be there. And in really this bad news, this despair, this hopelessness is the dominant cause of anxiety globally in our world today. So Here's a quote I want to read. It's from Bert Wagner. He's the National Director of the Association of Vineyard Churches. And he wrote a paper a while ago, and he presented it to us at a national leadership meeting. It's called Being a Community of Hope in a Despairing World. And you can find it online at Vineyard USA website under articles. He writes this: the hope of the world is Jesus, but Jesus as he makes himself present in his church. If the world is to find hope, it will find it in God's source of hope, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might think this is too high a view of the church. You can't mean, you might ask, that the church is the answer to mankind's despair. You don't know the church that I know. The church that I know is not the answer, it's part of the problem. If God is depending on the church, then he's in a heap of trouble. Well, that might be true in terms of the church as a whole at this time in history and of the particular church that you know, but that does not mean that the church is not God's answer. It means only that we have not lived up to God's gracious intent for the church. So as a city on a hill, we will reveal God's character. This is going to be done in a couple of different ways, but here's the challenge. The world sees the church in a couple of different ways. First of all, they think that we're minority. There's not that many of us, but we're pretty loud and we get ugly sometimes. The other thing that they think of us is that we have our own agenda, and that we have our own agenda with attitude. And that for the most part, what people have experienced whenever they've been involved with the church or talked to Christians is it's pretty much my way or the highway. And we're condemning, we're judgmental, and, you know, we're degrading. We make people feel like they're out and not in, that we're in, that we are on the inside loop of God. And we forget to tell people how much he's passionate about them, too. We think he's just passionate about us because we think we're the good guys and they're the bad guys. And you know, for the most part, people's view of the church is they're pretty rude. Christians are rude and degrading and condemning. And something rises up in me, and I just think, well, let me show you something different than what you've experienced. Can I? Can you give us a chance to show you something different? This week, we had a preliminary walkthrough with some inspectors from the city, and the fire marshals were there just to do a preliminary walkthrough and look for any big loopholes so that when they came back to do a final inspection, we were just kind of aware of anything. And it didn't take too long, only a few hours after that, when the city building inspector came back. I happened to be on site when this happened, and he served us, me and the foreman, a stop work order on our new building. And you know, it's basically not that we were being treated mean, but it was our fault due to some administrative kind of necessities on our part to get some revised drawings to the city for approval from our architect who's out of state, and so there was a communication gap there. And, you know, everything came crashing to a halt. And I'm holding the bag, and glad that Michael's out of range. He can't be reached by telephone. And, you know, freaked us out, basically. And I'm looking at our foreman, and he's hanging his head and saying, I haven't had this happen to me in 34 years. And so I don't know much. I'm pretty clueless when it comes to how to sort through this stuff. But I dug in and started to do the phone calling and talk to people and getting all the right heads in the game to resolve it. And as I did that, kind of had this fear of God come on me. And I thought to myself, everybody's watching us to see. Are they going to really love people? Like, what's going to come out when they get squeezed here? And I really appealed to everyone that I talked to that could and would be involved, you know, in sorting this out. We had the conversation right from the top. Let's do this. Let's not point fingers at whose fault this is, but let's kind of peaceably come together as a team and put our best foot forward here. Let's not react in the flesh. Let's respond in the spirit. And Let's make sure that in every interaction, we navigate this with integrity, and every person that we talk to walks away going, I feel loved. I felt the challenge. I felt God throw it down. And so we had those conversations, and everybody was on the same page, and we began to sort it out. And, you know, people have said this week, and somebody gave an anonymous tip to the paper to try to stir up trouble, and there, you might have seen an article in there, you know, aren't you mad at the city? And my answer is this: how can you be mad at the city when they represent the very people that we're called to lay our lives down for, the very people that we're going to serve and bless and let the redeeming love of God show through us to them? No, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. We're getting put in the game. We get to go play right now. This is our opportunity. This is like what we've been waiting for, and God's inviting us to love them. How can you be mad at them? I'm not mad at them. First of all, it's not even their fault. So yesterday at about 4 o'clock, this thing only lasted about 24 hours, so it's kind of old news now, but that stop work order was lifted. It was a sad day when 25 people and all the subcontractors had to be sent home, Thursday at the end of the day, and told not to come back until we let you know. But we let them know, like, by 4 o'clock on Friday, guess what? You can work on Monday morning. And our volunteer crews were back on site Friday night and all day Saturday. And Michael and I really want to lead the church in really loving God and loving people. And God's going to hold our feet to the fire. He's going to ask us to do it. And I love that. I love that we... You know, having integrity means that we're going to be people who don't just say one thing and do another, but that we actually do what we say. That's what it means to be people of integrity. And I asked Michael when I talked to him this week, hey, when you were sitting in interrogation and this, interrogation customs person was smirking at you for 6 hours, did you have your love God, love people shirt on? And he goes, you bet. You know, I'm like sporting that thing across my chest and, you know, sitting there in front of them and being interrogated. He goes, it's kind of hard to be rude when you're wearing that shirt. And it's true. And if you like the challenge of loving people and really want to do that with the help of the Holy Spirit, then buy a shirt today and wear it. By golly, you know, we got lots of sizes and colors in the bookstore right back there. But if you don't, then don't wear the shirt. Because we want to be people who actually do what we say. In order to reveal God's character, God's love needs to be evident, will be evident in our church community. You know, people don't want to come to church most of the time because it's not filled with loving people. Statistically, at large, in the larger church, 56% of people who said they used to go to church eventually drop out. And the reason is because they didn't get along relationally with the people in the church. Half of them drop out, at least. And they had relationship problems. And so that's why we're constantly making an effort to help people experience God's healing and deal with our brokenness and pointing people to Christ and having Christ-centered relationships so that we can be loving and the church could be evidently showing God's love in our lives. In order to reveal God's character, we will be serving faithfully serving the community we live in. And we're not going to fight the city, and we're not going to be consumers, and we're not going to suck the life out of the city. We are called to serve. We're not going to be that kind of a church. We're going to be a church that they are so glad that we're here because they don't want to live without the love and the light that's shining and the help that's coming into the community because we're there. If we choose not to serve our community, what's the alternative? Well, it gets pretty ugly really fast. If we choose not to serve our community, then we're basically making some choices and we're just saying, we want to serve our own preferences and our own agenda. That's what we really care about. We want to be comfortable. And sadly, churches that are serving their own preferences and their church cultures do not reach the unchurched. And they will not experience healthy kingdom. And they will not experience life or growth. And so we need to ask God to put his heart in us so that we want what he wants and we want to serve the community or else. Or else we're going to end up loving ourselves. more than we love others. And you know who gets, you know who falls between the cracks here? It's the lost. When we love ourselves more than other people, it's the people who don't know Christ yet that we forget about. They're the ones who miss out. God says, we are set apart for the king's pleasure, not our own pleasure. That's another thing. I'm not sure we knew that when we signed up sometimes. We'll also end up fighting over really stupid things in our environment. And, you know, I got to tell you, I've had over the years, you know, a couple situations where, you know, I'll tell this story because it's about women and I'm a woman, so I can do that. But, you know, 5 years ago or so, we had a couple gals that wanted to paint the bathroom. And I can say this, too, because they're not in our church anymore. But they were fighting over, you know, what color to paint the bathroom. And one wanted it pink and one wanted it yellow. And I was trying to get them to work together. And finally, I just sat them down. And I go, you know what? Leave it brown. Like, who cares what color the paint is? What God cares about is that you two get along. You know, churches are split all the time over committees fighting over whether or not nursery can bring toys from garage sales in, or whether or not the carpet should be this color or that color, or should we rope off this many chairs for the elders, or, you know, it's just ridiculous what the church fights over, because they're so self-focused on their own preferences and their own agenda, and we're just not going to do that. And I know, I can hear it already. I can wake up and hear some of your voices when you experience that new building. Some of you are going to walk in and go, why'd you paint it that color? You know, you're going to say, the ceilings are too, oh, they're so high. Oh, isn't all the heat going up there in the ceiling? I mean, you're going to say it, or at least you're going to think it for sure. And, you know, you're going to say, you know, there's not enough carpet, or there's too much carpet, or that beautiful fireplace, it should have been a wood stove. Somebody's going to think it. Someone's going to think it. I just know it. And, you know, you're going to say things like, I have to walk so far from my car. This parking lot is huge. I'm like you don't now. You got to walk 10 blocks away sometimes. I mean, we'll get you little golf carts out there or something, get you up to the door. And somebody's going to say, I really miss being squished like a sardine in a can. And I'm going to say, you crawl back in that sardine can, baby. I'm not coming with you. I'm going to be out here. The other thing is, we're going to end up being self-focused, and we're just going to miss the very people that God's bringing to our doorstep. And, you know, we'll be so navel-gazing, you know, poor me, that we just don't see the people that are really seeking and trying to get to God. And we'll end up slamming the door of the kingdom in the face of people who really need Jesus. People who really need Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We'll also end up not going out and doing anything. And you know what? Quite frankly, I think we'll just get bored if that's the case. Because there's nothing more exciting than hearing the story of a new believer, or someone who comes to Christ who's been seeking him. Some people are experiencing something for the first time that you've been experiencing for years. And I tell you, it is so exciting to see people's lives totally transformed as they meet Christ, because somebody invited them here to experience what they're experiencing. And if that wasn't happening, I'm sorry, but I think that you'd get bored with me and I'd get bored with you, because we're just talking about the same things over and over. And the dynamics change, and the life and the growth happens as people are coming to Christ. So how do we live this out? Well, it's easy. Give up our agenda and our preferences. Don't worry about it. What if the church was filled with people saying, don't worry about my preferences. Let's just do what it takes to reach the community. You need money for Fruit of the Vine? You need more money for Food Shelf? Here, I'll just give it right now out of my pocket. Let's, what can we do to make people who don't come here more comfortable? Or maybe they're here and, you know, we have created an environment that we like, but it's very uncomfortable for them. What can we do to make it more comfortable? Like, what can we do to give up our preferences and our agendas? The other thing we can do is fulfill the mission of Jesus. And our mission is completely and wholly tied to the mission of Jesus. to seek and to save the lost. And that's what we had to offer is Jesus. And so that's the help that we have to offer, and it's our privilege to do that. And that might mean getting involved. And, you know, we don't expect you to go home and try to figure out all this stuff by yourself. Sometimes it's just coming together and getting on the bandwagon and doing something that's already planned. And there's a couple ways that you can do that. There's lots of ministries of compassion here that are already in motion at the Vineyard Church. And Jesus was completely, incredibly compassionate. And large crowds of people constantly followed him. And the reason why is because he had something that they wanted. He offered them something real, tangible, something that they needed. He spent time with them and he hung out with them. And serving the community is spending time hanging out with people, doing the kinds of things that Jesus did himself. We have a need to offer fruit of the vine. Our food shelf is serving more families than we can handle one day a week. We have on a Saturday morning, it's open every Saturday from 9:30 to 11:30. We have anywhere from 70 to 120 families trying to come and get groceries on any given weekend, and it's just too much for that time period. And we're trying to organize a second day of service on another day of the week when guests who are in need in the community can just show up and get food and groceries and coffee and be prayed for. And we need to add a whole new crop of volunteers to show up on a different night of the week to serve those people. So, you know, it's not like because we're so big that everything's covered. Because we're so big, there's more required of us. To those who have been given much, more is required, the Bible says. And so, you know, we have needs like that that you can be involved in if you're not involved at all. We're doing something kind of cool coming up April 3rd and 4th. It's called Serve Duluth. We have this calendared a couple times during the year. And we basically come on Friday night and we talk about the things that God wants us to do. We have several opportunities lined up. We teach a little bit, pray out of, you know, pray and get God's heart for this. And then Saturday we come back and we go out in teams all across Duluth and we just serve Duluth. And it's all you got to do is show up and say, I'm coming. I want to, give me a ride. And we'll take you with us. And we'll do all kinds of things just to serve Duluth. And you might just get freaked out and go, that's so presumptuous. And you're really expecting people to, be hospitable and receive what you have to offer. I'm like, yeah, actually, because they're already in touch with their need. They're looking for ways that their lives can be touched. And so that's an opportunity that you have. Let's just look one last time at this verse. I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. We want to reach people in our community for Christ, and we want devoted disciples that'll be really passionate about what God's passionate about, because we believe that the church of Jesus Christ is the visible presence that the world needs right now of God's redeeming love. And they are hopeless and they are despairing. And I just want to invite you, if you want to call this church your home, then welcome to being a part of a church that's a city on a hill that is compelled by God's love to love people. Why don't you guys stand up with me? If the ministry team could come, I'd like to invite any of you that are struggling in any area of your life. We'd love to just pray with you about whatever's going on. But maybe particularly, it's always been hard to love people. And maybe you just want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can let that come out when you get squeezed. I don't know. I don't know exactly where you're at in relationship with other people. But I know that I know that I know that God's calling you to love people. Father, thank you so much for what this means. And I thank you for the invitation. I thank you for the throwdown. I thank you that you're inviting us to be different than what people have experienced when it comes to Christians. I thank you that you have called us to be a city on a hill. And God, as each person here just stands before you as an individual, will you do what it takes? Will you help them to acknowledge what they need from you to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves here, God. Help us where we're weak. We love you. Amen. Feel free to just come up and let us pray with you before you leave today, if you would. And don't forget to buy a shirt and wear it.